This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, sitting in for Terry Gross. You may know our guest, Eugene Hoots, from his memorable performance as a Ukrainian translator in the movie Everything is Illuminated. But Hoots was just moonlighting as an actor. Really, he's the frontman for the gypsy punk band Gogol Bordello. Tricia Romano of The Village Voice wrote, "For those who lament that their life is unexciting and worthless, I would prescribe Eugene Hoots for just about any malady you may be experiencing." Gogol Bordello's wildly energized concerts mix gypsy abandon with the driving force of rock. There's a band of musicians on stage with two masked go-go girls who dash around the stage singing and playing washboards and drums. Hoots grew up in Ukraine and came to the U.S. with his family as a teenager. Here's the song Ultimate from the group's new CD, Super Taranta.
If we are here not to do what you and I wanna do and go forever crazy with it, why the hell we are even here? They are today, they are tomorrow. It's a stupid thing we say. Cursing tomorrow with sorrow. No! Well, we stand here in a row, looking like a bunch of heroes. I know that deep inside, nothing more but a bunch of zeros. Yeah!
Well, Eugene Hoots, welcome to Fresh Air. You know, your band is described as gypsy punk. If I wanted to convince my friends to come to me with a Gogol Bordello concert, what should I tell them to expect? What are they going to see?
Complete orgasmo hysteria.
Okay. You want to fill that in a little bit? What does the act look and sound like?
Well, I guess, I mean, you can tell them whatever the hell you want to tell them, really. But it's all going to end up in a peak experience of, I guess, emotional kind for them. And show is a show. But this show would never work that well without the music and its foundation, which is gypsy music of my origin. Mm-hmm. And the power of that music is quite known to its fanatics. But for me, it was always obvious that gypsy music can become very much appreciated in subculture, you know, because it was always marginalized and in this world music kind of marketing and all these things that I can't stand, really. You know, it just was basically locked up all these years. When in its spirit, it's basically rock and roll. It's probably the closest thing to rock and roll you can find in the history of music before rock and roll as we know it appears.
Traditional gypsy music, you're saying, is
yes.
Like rock and roll, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's probably the most passionate, the most flamboyant, the most merry and gay music that there was before rock and roll. It's a scientific fact, basically.
Somebody described a Gogol Bordello concert as something like standing next to a 747. And I can say you sing every syllable of every song with your whole body. I mean, you just don't stop moving. Have you always performed that way?
Basically, that's why I'm not a real singer. Because I never learned how to sing just with that one mechanism. And I never really was schooled in any way, really, either. And it all kind of came from just growing up around music that's basically acoustically made by my own family. Well, my father was quite an entertainer, just to give him a guitar and a party, and there you will have it, a prototype of Gogol Bordello. You know, he is still pretty much an entertainer of refugee community where he resides now with my, you know, with my mom in Vermont.
As a kid, did you perform for your parents?
No, not really. I mean, my dad always stole the show. It was not until in a school, but I think it was about 6th or 7th grade, there was some school competition, and where, you know when they have these things where school competes against the school, mm-hmm. in wit and skits and all these kind of things. Anyhow, we had those things back in the Soviet Union. I wasn't even participating, but our team was losing, and they just decided to throw me out on stage, like last reserve, because I was into punk rock and I had green hair, and they thought it might gonna do some good. And along with that, I did some improv, and that's how we won, basically. So that was my like a first taste of little stage victory, and that's kind of basically. From then on, I decided that that's a pretty powerful place to be, and that's where it all kind of makes sense for me.
And where was that? Did all this happen? Was this in Kiev?
It was in Kiev. It was in my school. Srednya школа номер 170.
And you had green hair back then?
Yeah, actually, we put a medical зеленка, this thing that's supposed to put on your wounds. In Soviet Union, it was green, so I put it in my hair. Which burned my skin a lot.
Some kind of medicine to color your hair.
Yeah.
What was it like to wear your hair green then and have all those, have that lifestyle? Did you get in trouble?
Well, it was perestroika time. So Gorbachev just came to power, and it was considered to be okay suddenly. So we got away with, I mean, in school I didn't get much trouble for it, but I would get beat up on a street a couple times, and by other youth organizations that called Lubery and all these pro-Soviet idiotic bodybuilder neo-Nazi kids who would basically pull us in the alley and hit us once in the face and we were done. We didn't take that much effort to put us away back then. We were like 15 years old, just one hit on the head.
So when you formed a band, I know that you immigrated to Burlington, Vermont, which is a college town, and there is a music scene there. And
yeah.
You formed a band, and then you came to New York and started playing this, for lack of a better word, fusion of punk and more traditional gypsy music and all the other influences that you have. Were your audiences just American kids who were turned onto this, or were you finding gypsies everywhere?
No, actually, when I first came to Vermont, to the States, I played in a, you know, basically in hardcore metal bands, and before I formed my own band, and in a band that were much more straightforward punk rock. And the process of getting back into my own, you know, DNA music, it took some years, I tell you. And I also didn't want to do it in a stupid way as some bands do it, you know. I didn't want it to be exploitation of stereotype on any rate. So that had, you know, it was quite a process to find an angle of what it's gonna be like. And actually, the turning point was for me music of Béla Bartók, of Hungarian composer, who worked with a lot of ethnical music, turning it into his own symphonic avant-garde music. So after getting kind of load of how does he process that information, I was able to step up to it without quoting and without just reusing the tunes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to pick another song from Super Toronto that listen to and tell us about?
I don't know, American Wedding.
I was thinking American Wedding. Tell me a little bit about this song, then we can hear it.
Well, you know, I've been here for a couple years already, to be exact, 12, and I've gone to some of them, American weddings, and it just was a pretty amazing experience. I mean, I just could not believe that people actually would celebrate, or would even call it celebration. And the funny thing is that I wasn't even going to put the song on the album. I just I literally wrote it to entertain somebody in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes on after party. I just polished up some rhymes later on. But the funny thing about it is that it's the Americans who get the biggest kick out of it, because once it was done, they're like, you have to put it on the album. It's everybody can relate to it. It's just it is what it is. I can't believe nobody wrote it before.
And the
like,
theme,
how can we do it like that?
Right,
you know, it just was such a contrast to me, because the wedding in Eastern Europe is 3 days long experience, you know, and just going to conference room rented out till one in the morning, you know, it's like in a hotel is like, ah.
It's lame by contrast. All right, so let's hear the song. This is American Wedding by Gogol Bordello.
American wedding. Where's the vodka? Where's marinated herring? Where's the musicians that got the taste? Where's the supply that's gonna last 3 days? Where's the band that like fanfare? Gonna keep it going 24 hours. Up the chords, everybody's full of cake, staring at the floor. Proper couples start to mumble that it's time to go. People gotta get up early and they gotta go.
And that was the group Gogol Bordello. Singing was my guest Eugene Hutz, and the song was American Wedding.
Yeah, man.
We'll talk some more after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're speaking with Eugene Hutz, leader of the gypsy punk band Gogol Bordello. He grew up in Ukraine, and his family immigrated to Vermont when he was a teenager. Your life was affected by the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, right? I mean, how close were you to the accident? How did it affect your family?
Well, Kyiv is 65 kilometers away from Chernobyl. So as thousands and thousands of other people, it's like, of course, we're affected by it in every way, in mental way, and in geographical dislocation way. And, you know, I feel I feel always hesitant to talk about it, because there are people who suffered from it much, 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 much more. I mean, it was close, but, you know, we still had our things together enough to listen to BBC radio promptly and receive a message that we need to get out. Other people stayed there for weeks and weeks later on. And, you know, that's how Soviet government was working, you know.
You mean it wasn't the government that had informed you? You picked up a BBC broadcast and knew to hightail it out of there, right?
Oh, absolutely. There was no official news for 6 days after the thing. There was nothing. I mean, kids kept going to school. And my dad and I, being rock and rollers that we are, you know, always tuning into BBC, listening to music programs in a Russian language, you know, that was basically a forbidden thing to do. And eventually my dad was busted for that. And it's actually one of the things that helped us to get out. But
your dad was busted for what?
For listening to that. To BBC. He was busted for it several times during his youth. They actually caught him listening to that in the army. And, I mean, there is nothing, it's just the cultural programs, just in the Russian language, that were broadcasted from London by this DJ Seva Novgorodtsev. And my dad, as other young kids, you know, at that time, was tuning in into that and just listening to, you know, Rolling Stones.
Right.
And eventually somebody ratted on him that he tunes in into this stuff, and
wow.
And the file started, and the file continued for a couple of decades, till there's so much stuff accumulated that, you know, that he was interrogated a couple times, and we threw a bunch of other stuff together and said, listen, we can't stay here anymore. It's like, what's next? They're going to lock him up or we got to get out of here.
And that's what led to your family moving to Vermont as political refugees. It wasn't simply fleeing the Chernobyl accident, right?
All of it was like accumulation because once we were left Kyiv because of Chernobyl, it was already like, even when we came back to Kyiv, it wasn't like we were kind of unsettled there. It was like the move was done. We came back, stayed a couple years, and basically those years were spent on making sure we're getting out for good. But the thing about, you know, when we were evacuated, as bizarre as it sounds, that actually led me to a major discovery, you know, for my life, because I was a little kid, and as I said before, I didn't think anything about the fact that, you know, my grandmother is gypsy and, you know, that my uncle is complete fanatic of gypsy music. And when we left and stayed with our relatives, that's where I was actually submerged in a full-on Romani environment for the first time in my life. So after a year of living with them, it had a lot. Maybe because I was so young and impressionable, but I think, you know, your DNA is going to play part in it too. My identification, like, psychologically changed, actually. And it's an important age for anybody, 13, 14, 15 years old, you know. And suddenly I was hanging out with totally different kind of kids who had other things on their mind. And when I lived with them, I experienced different things, that just the feelings that I never had, because the general intelligence and emotional life of gypsies is very different. I mean, everybody talks about like gypsy spirit, and it's kind of became this cliche, but more important thing is gypsy psychology, and it's something that nobody can really describe it, because gypsies wouldn't care to describe it to you. And other people just can't understand it.
Well, I guess I have to ask you to describe it. What do you mean by gypsy psychology?
Well, I don't even know if I could fully describe it, but it's something has to do with immediacy of their perception. You know, it's an interesting thing that in gypsy, for example, something I'd found out, they had no, there is word for today and akana, and then there is word for the word for tomorrow and for yesterday is the same. It's atasya. You know, and it's like, because that's just not today. In a way, what you see in Gogol Bordello is it's me recreating what I saw when I lived with them. It's our spirit. It's how we survive. It's our rising above the pressures and contradictions of life.
Well, I wanted to play a song from your new record, Super Taranta.
And sure.
The one I was going to play was the third track, Xena Marina. This song really rocks, and I liked it a lot. But then
thank you.
When I got clued into what it's about, it had a whole different feel to me. Tell us about the lyrics and what this song is about.
You know, I mean, it's about sex trafficking, and Ukraine is the central of that. You can actually, it's as obvious as walking through the streets, because even 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I would still go back and there would be still tons of hot girls on the streets everywhere you look. That's Ukraine. You know, now you go there and it's like, where did they all go? Where did they all go is that they're all busy working in Dubai and Istanbul and other places where they're all tricked in. And most of these girls, they're actually from rural areas, and they're not educated about anything. They just answer ad about, do you want to be a model? Which is any girl in Ukraine will do in a second.
Let's hear Gogol Bordello's song about sex trafficking. This is Xena Marina. Eugene Hutz will be back in the second half of the show. I'm Dave Davies, and this is Fresh Air. Xena This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, sitting in for Terry Gross. We're speaking with Eugene Hoots. He starred in the film Everything is Illuminated, but he's mostly a musician. His gypsy punk band Gogol Bordello has built a following for years with their wildly energetic live shows. The group has a new CD called Super Taranta. Well, we should talk a little bit about the film Everything is Illuminated, which is a lot of Americans were introduced to you by that movie. It's the story of it's based on a novel by Jonathan Safran Foer. It's the story of a young man, American man, going to Ukraine to trace his roots, to track down who saved his grandfather from the Holocaust. And your character, Alex Perchov, is his translator. And I thought we'd listen to a little cut of the film. This is early in the film, and you're sort of introducing yourself to the audience. Let's listen. This is my guest, Eugene Hoots, in the movie Everything is Illuminated.
But now I must tell you more of myself. I am unequivocally tall. I do not know any women who are taller than me. The women who are taller than me are lesbians, for whom 1969 was a very momentous year. For me, America is a first-rate place. Most of all, I am beloved of American movies, muscular cars, and hip-hop music. I also dig Negroes, most of all Michael Jackson. He's a first-rate dancer, just like me. Many girls want to be carnal with me because I'm such a premium dancer.
And that is my guest, Eugene Hoots, from the movie Everything is Illuminated. You know, it's a very funny cut, but this is more than just a comical role. I mean, you're kind of the dramatic fulcrum of this movie. You're the translator between the American and the Russian. There are a lot of quirky characters. How did this role find you?
Liev Schreiber, who directed the movie, has been, I guess they were casting for a long time for that role. And his interest in music and knowledge that band Gogol Bordello exists led him to basically track us down and see if we can do the soundtrack for the movie. And I ventured to the negotiation basically for the music, to the meeting, to meet him. There on a meeting, he actually had this spontaneous idea that, wait a second, maybe we can do more than music. And, you know, I said, sure, you know, I mean, he just basically asked me, am I familiar with the book? And actually it was, somebody just gave me that book. I was reading it like I was on the page 80 or, and he said, do you think you could do that guy, Alex? And I said, yes, of course. And,
you had no doubt.
You know, if he would ask me to do grandfather, I'd say yes too.
Well, the interesting thing about, you know, the character, I mean, the cut we heard is very funny and comical, and there are a lot of funny moments in the film, but there's also some real dramatic, you know, moments where you really have to carry some pretty heavy stuff.
It's a tragic comedy.
Yeah. But, you know, what's interesting to me is having seen a performance of Gogol Bordello where there is just so much intense manic energy on stage, and a lot of what you have to do in this is much, you know, much quieter. Did you have to struggle to control your performing impulses here?
Actually, well, it was new territory for me, even though I was encouraged a lot that I'm natural and all that. But actually, Liev helped me, walked me through quite a few things, and that was great. I mean, just, I think, company of Liev and Elijah both stabilized me in a way, because I'm quite certain that without their company, I would overdo it, possibly. You know, I think that from the combination of Liev's and mine kind of rumble-tumble is what the role is really is, because I was pushing for much more aggressive delivery. That's just my nature. And I think he led me on to discover other ways of other shades, you know?
Now, I read that you've been acting in a film that Madonna is directing. Is that right?
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, It's the filming of it is basically done, and that was done in April and May, yeah, right before this tour. And this film calls Filth and Wisdom, and I play a lead role. And the band is also in it, the whole Gogol Bordello, as Gogol Bordello. And I basically play a singer of Gogol Bordello.
Well, that should
you
work.
Know, who right. also likes to dress up as a woman once in a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that accurate?
Maybe.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
Let's give people something to talk about.
Do you want to keep acting? Do you want to do more of it?
I think one movie in 2 years is kind of a good speed for me.
About right.
But it's still like, I am just pretty certain that I was put on this earth to do gypsy rock and roll live and recording wise.
And
where I get most of my kicks.
And that led to Madonna bringing you onto the stage at Live Earth and doing a little performing. Has that opened any doors for the band or giving you a wider public audience?
Sure. But everything, I mean, of course, I mean, come on, every third person on the planet saw it. You know, it was televised to 3 billion people. But it was, you know, it's like it's been seen as such a massive publicity stunt and something that was, but it's really, it was just a spontaneous thing because when we were making a movie, you know, as always, I had my guitar and I was playing songs, gypsy songs, other songs, and she really liked some of them. And eventually, you know, we're both singers, we're both entertainers, and eventually we created a little skit on the scene where these two songs, our song and her song, became one song. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, it was like 10 days before the Wembley. And she just said, how do you feel about performing it? And with me and Wembley, and I was like, you have to like realize what doing something like that is a major step for not only for a band and like its exposure and so on and so forth. In terms of perception of Romani culture, that's a pretty massive thing to be part of Live Earth, for example, and for Romani culture to be seen as a positive force along with other forces on that front.
Right.
That's like, I mean, literally after that concert, I had all my gypsy friends calling me from Ukraine, from Russia, from France, saying like, I can't believe this. This is amazing. I mean, like, I can't believe Madonna was singing with you in Romani, in our language. That's like, that's totally insane. And that's kind of what we do. We entertainers create things that go and bewilder spectators' minds and tell them new things.
Well, Eugene Hutz, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Eugene Hutz of the band Gogol Bordello. Their new CD is called Super Taranta.